And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. And joined here this morning by Victor Czarnecki, who is a Manhattan resident, is that right?
Junction City.
Junction City, okay. And he's an advocate here for veterans, primarily those who worked in the Marshall Islands in the 1970s?
77 through 80.
Okay. And I'll let you kind of just take the mic here a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you are advocating for.
Okay. The project is the Marshall Islands Cleanup Project. The 1977 through 1980, they had over 8,000 military and civilian contractors go out to the South Pacific to the Aloe Talk Atoll and clean up the atomic test site. Well, the problem was we were not trained. We weren't given equipment to protect ourselves. We were dealing with raw materials on all the islands. The islands that we lived on, and if you take probably about, say, the parking lot up there at K-State, the one football stadium right there off of the front gate there, the smallest island was about the size of that football stadium. The problem was they kept telling us we weren't exposed to anything. Well, yes, we were, because the guys initially that went there, they were on an open ground. They pushed the debris off, made an open area. We started to build cement slabs and stuff for buildings, and we spent 179 days at a time up on the Northern Islands. We lived on Lodjawa. It's probably about the size of the Walmart parking lot out here, by where the Kmart used to be. And the island that we buried the stuff on, Brunet, is where, if anyone has caught the story about the UN representative going down there and investigating the leakage of this dome, you may have heard that in the news. The other is the Smithsonian Institute has been televising a series of videos and stuff about the islands, and showing videos that that partake particularly the atomic veterans, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get our status changed to atomic veterans, which would give us a higher level of VA benefits and stuff like that. The bills that we're working on, and we've been doing this for almost, well, going on 10 years, I think. Mark Tataki, senator out of Hawaii, started this with one of our brothers out there, and he shortly passed away after the initial writing of the bill. But we've had other people that carried on. The bill that we're fighting for is the House Bill H.R. 1377, which would give us the same status as atomic veterans. At the moment, we go in there to the VA with different types of illnesses, cancers, and stuff like that. They tell you you're not covered under the VA benefits. So what we're working on is getting the bills passed so that we can the ones that are still alive, and out of 4,000 soldiers that went there, we have 350. That we know are alive. I have six of them that live here in the state of Kansas. A couple of them are having health issues. Some of them aren't. I got involved with the group about 3 years ago. I happened to have been watching the TV, and the TV show What on Earth takes satellite pictures. Well, they happened to show a picture of the dome. It looks like a big flying saucer. Well, I said, this ought to be interesting. So the guy came back on and made the comment, why would someone put a fallout shelter in the middle of the ocean? Well, my reaction was, what did he just say? Because I hadn't thought about the Marshall Islands since since 80 when I left Hawaii. I was a member of the 84th Engineer Battalion. And I saw that picture, and he made that comment, and I thought, he's got to be told the correct information. So I attempted to locate a phone number for him, and that's how I came across our website, the Marshall Islands Atomic Cleanup Veterans. And that's how I joined. We've got other projects that we're working on to get our stories out. We've just went through a radio series out there in California with a group of veterans. And these guys are fighting for not just any veteran, they're fighting for every veteran. They're Iraqi vets. They pulled our story in, and we've had four radio shows in the last month talking about our stories. Hmm. What I want them to do is I want to get the people educated on some of the things that veterans are being neglected for, and this is one of them. We have young guys that spent 3 years in the military, got out, and their documentation doesn't show that they went to the Marshall Islands. Initially, the project was supposed to be classified. Now, an atomic veteran was one of the individuals, the military, that over 250,000 soldiers that took part in the testing back in the days, 45 to 63, they were given the higher category of care. But anyway, the project itself, we were decked out in what you would say boonie hats, T-shirts, cut-off shorts, and rubber boots. We worked the hotline for we worked the island project for the whole time. Most of the guys were spent 10 hours a day on Runit, on the hot side of the island, and you come back, what they have called the hotline. The guy would stand there with a Geiger counter. If it went off, he'd say, go down to the lagoon and take a dip and then come back. Well, problem was, he'd go do that. Well, that contamination was still there because of the size of the islands and stuff. The island of Runit, probably about 2.5 blocks long. You can stand on one side, throw a rock over, and hit the lagoon from the ocean side. Yeah. I myself, and I myself don't have any medical.
That's all right. You guys are obviously exposed to a lot of radiation out there, and at the time you don't know, you can't see it.
Well, okay. Everybody says that if you weren't there when the initial bomb went off, then you weren't exposed. Well, the island of Runit is uninhabitable for 240,000 years. Okay. The problem there is the islands are still contaminated. Prior to us doing the Bikini, before we did the Marshall Islands cleanup, they went into the Bikini Islands where they detonated the largest thermonuclear bomb, and they only set two of them off. It left a crater in the atoll a mile wide and 600 feet deep. Hmm. Okay, the people of the Bikini Islands, and I'm not talking just two atolls. I'm talking like 15 or 20. People may have heard of stories of Kwajalein, the Battle of Kwajalein, and stuff like that in history. Well, there was also a battle of Iwo. We took the island. We took the atoll away from the Japanese, and there was over 2,000 soldiers there, and only 10 of them surrendered. The rest of them were dealt with. But again, We promised these people that we would give them back their islands. You know, they basically lied to them. I mean, these people back then probably had the education of a fifth grader, and someone comes up here and smiling at them and saying, "You're doing this for the good of mankind." Well, these people didn't understand that. They thought they were going to go and come right back. Well. the project back then started in 45. Now, a lot of people don't understand atomic bombs are nasty things. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the thing was, those were only like 6 or 7 kiloton bombs, okay? The problem there was they didn't detonate on the ground. They detonated 2 or 3 miles up in the air. So the damage there wasn't is what some people would think. Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of death, a lot of injuries. But the thing of it is the people in the Marshall Islands and the other atolls out there, there's like 15 different atolls to include Johnson Island, and a lot of people know about Johnson Island because of the Agent Orange. That's where they supposedly destroyed Agent Orange. Well, the day of one bomb, the people were, say, 200 or 300 miles away. The fallout came down as snow. Now, if you've never been off of the island and you've never seen what snow was, these people thought it was, and the kids thought it was something funny. They were out there playing in it, just like the kids here would play in the snow.
Wow.
You know, and within 2 days, the radiation burns and that would show up. There's pictures on the internet. I mean, you could spend days. I've got on my phone, I've got over 350 documents. Some of them are 2 or 3 pages long. Some are 500 pages long. It's kind of hard reading documents off of your cell phone, but
yeah.
It took me about a week and a half to read a 20-page document. The thing is back in 95, President Clinton declassified a lot of documents to include everything that dealt with the atomic veterans, because those guys were sworn to secrecy. They couldn't tell anybody what they did, what they saw. A lot of them went to their graves with the secret. Well, in 95, President Clinton declassified the project. He also declassified some other projects that were going on, and some of that were human testing. They were going to different colleges and hospitals, asylums, and they were injecting plutonium and that stuff into people to see what it did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they would have stopped and looked back at the soldiers that stood there in some of the projects out in Nevada in the test site out there, they would know that these guys, you know, they would do the history of the project. The soldiers out there were stuck in foxholes. They were told to stay down until the blast went by. Then they were to get up and walk to the bomb. There's videos of this happening. They were within a mile of the detonation, okay? In the Pacific, they put all these boats, and people have probably seen the pictures of the atomic bomb going up, seeing the boats in there. Well, they had actual sailors sitting on open deck on those ships. They tell them, cover your eyes with your arms or your hands, and when the bomb went off, they could actually see the skeleton of the individual in front of them. That's how bright this bomb was.
Hmm.
One bomb was so bright that it went off in the Marshall Islands, and people in Hawaii could see the daylight at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's how bright these bombs can be. Now, the thermonuclear bombs, They only detonated 2, but we still have a problem. They still have that particular core in some of the projects that we have today. We have projects where they could shoot 3 or 4 different rockets and drop 5 bombs. They're not big ones, but they're still there.
Yeah.
Now the Russians had one. They stole them. They stole the information from us back in the day. They built their own. They detonated one in Europe. It was 50 kiloton. And the only reason why they didn't do the full shot of 100 kiloton, they wanted to save their core material, their uranium. And that's some of the different testings that's happened. Now, on the island of Runet, where we worked, we had five or six different bombs go off. One bomb did not detonate as an atomic weapon. It just blew apart, put 43 pounds of uranium, pin-size material, throughout that whole atoll. I mean, that whole island. Now, the island, again, it says it's only, 75 yards wide.
Yeah, not very big.
Quarter mile long. There's books out there that people can find. I have a few of them here that I found on the internet. The Marshall Islands, Bikini Islands, Aniwetok Atoll, Runjalit Atoll. This tells about the actual Marshall Islands and some of the different atolls. It wasn't just the one we were working on. There's others. Mm-hmm. And then the other book, and this was a video that the military did. It was for the good of mankind. Well, that's what they told these islanders that they were taking off their islands, that they were doing. Well, these people never, they seen all the battles of the war, right, but they never seen anything as big as these things were going to be used, and they were told that we'd give back your islands. Bombing of the Marshall Islands, fantastic books. Like I said, we had the radio show out in California, which I would like anybody who would like to listen to this show, and it's a great show. It's Veterans Take Charge Radio. When you Google it, you can find the website, and it has ZBS.com on it. Just click it. The guys will show up on their little website. You can go over to the thing. Every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in California, they have a show. And they cover everything. The things that they do out in California for veterans is outstanding. I mean, they've got programs out there for the homeless. They're helping us now to get the word out. So, if you would like to see listen to some of the show, our first show was on September 7th. We had a show on September 8th. And I want to say the third Sunday or fourth Sunday of September, we had three of our ladies. Our books were from Service to Sacrifice. That's the picture of the island that we worked on.
Yep.
Not a big place, right?
Not a very big place. No, it's very small.
The books could be found on Amazon. The author is T.M. Fitzgerald. They're great books. They tell the stories. We've got four books in the making right now. The fourth book is getting ready to be done. So, they can be found on the internet.
I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back more with Victor Czarnecki here on News Radio KMAN. Stay tuned.